Front page above the fold of the very first issue of The Onion in big bold letters was the headline, Mendota Monster Mauls Madison. Now, almost 40 years later, The Onion's brand of satire has grown a little more sophisticated. For example, the headline that reads, "No Way to Prevent This," says only nation where this regularly happens, which has appeared regularly almost 40 times in The Onion. I'm Lee Rayburn, filling in for Larry Mueller today on The Larry Mueller Show, and we're talking today about the history of The Onion with two guests. First, Christine Wentz is the author of the book, Funny Because It's True, How The Onion Created Modern American News Satire. Christine, welcome.
Thank you so much, Lee. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. Also with us today is Chad Nackers, current editor-in-chief of The Onion, and Chad is the longest-serving Onion employee and the last of the original Madisonians on staff. Chad, welcome to you.
Thank you for having me.
And Christine, I'll start with you since you started at The Onion back when it all began, fall of 1988.
I did. Yes, I did.
How did The Onion get started?
The Onion got started, my roommates started it. Tim Keck and Chris Johnson were the people who founded The Onion. And basically, Tim comes from a Chicago area newspaper family. He grew up in a newspaper saturated environment. And so it made sense for him when he was about 20 years old and the money he'd made working at a gas station to pay for college was running out. And he said, I need to do something. I know, I'll start a newspaper. And so he got a bunch of friends to help. And the only thing was they didn't know, you know, what the newspaper was going to be about. And a friend of mine named Matt Cook, who was an improv comedian at the Arc Improv here in Madison, was in that friend group. And he said, I know, why don't we just make it all made up stories? And we're like, sure, that's great. That's it. And that's the story of how The Onion got started. And the thing is, the interesting thing, though, is that Tim is actually a very good businessman. He had really good instincts from the very beginning. And there turned out that there were many, many at that time in Madison. There were tons of free weekly newspapers all over the place.
Sure.
Oddly enough, there was nothing like The Onion, and it was successful like almost immediately as a free weekly in Madison.
In terms of as a business.
Yeah, as a business. Yeah, but also people just loved it. Like people like picked it up and they noticed it like right away, even though it was very, very amateurish. I mean, we were like 19 and 20 years old. We were just like little babies, you know, but there was just something about it that like just made people notice it right off the bat. So
what was it like working there at the very beginning?
Well, I mean, it was a bunch of college kids, you know, in a dumpy apartment on East Johnson Street. It wasn't in a real office, you know, and like part of the staff, like Tim and Chris rented the apartment with our friend Andy Dewey to help pay the rent. And so it was like people going in and out and like people just sitting around, you know, trying to think of something to put on the front page of the paper at like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, before the printer deadline
press.
Kind of thing. Chad, I hope it's not like that now.
Well, Chad,
but
you were hired back.
Yeah.
So you were hired back in 1997, I believe as a photographer for The Onion. What was it like when you began?
I remember the writer's room. Our office was on State Street on that first block. It was just filled with big Mike's soda cups. I think they used to get Big Mike's catered for writer's meetings, and they must have had 6 months worth of Big Mike's cups in there. So I assume it was pretty toxic. But yeah, I would go out and with Mike Lowe, the graphics editor, and we would shoot a photo. There was a great one where it was enormous bra found. And so we went and shot it outside the public library. And I guess we were like, oh, we'll just leave that. And I think 2 days later or after it came out, the library called the Onion office. It's like, you got to pick up that bra.
So it was almost performance art as well as a newspaper back in Madison.
Yeah.
I'm curious about how Madison and the Time helped define what The Onion not only started as, but eventually became. We're at the end, it's 1988. First paper comes out in the fall of 88.
Yeah.
And it's the end of the Reagan administration. It's also a time when Madison is an affordable place to live. Mm-hmm. And Gen Xers are coming of age and trying to figure out what their role is in the country. Yeah. How did Madison and that time help define The Onion?
Well, Madison had amazing things going for it. And I'm sure many college towns around the country are probably similar, but the rent was affordable. You could work at a minimum wage job or two and still have time for projects and hanging out with friends. You know, the sort of I have kids. Right now, I have a kid that I was the age I was when I was working on The Onion, and the intensity of his sort of environment is just really different, and like just the affordability of everyday life is like a big part of that. Madison was also. There was just a lot of freeform stuff happening, you know? There was a lot of crazy creative stuff going on. It was a very DIY atmosphere. It was like the local business was very strong. And there was just a very strong local culture. And The Onion, you know, really just fit in with all of that.
Local music scene with Club DeWash and
exactly.
Old OK's Corral.
Totally, totally. Yeah,
I remember that. And Chad, I believe you came from Appleton and family farm there. Give us a little idea of how the Midwest sets the tone for what The Onion is to become.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a kind of down to earth, you know, I think there's a great sense of humor in out of Wisconsinites too. You know, they kind of laugh at themselves, and that's part of the great thing about The Onion is a lot of the area man and woman stories were just kind of about people we knew. And it was very relatable. It wasn't this like elite East or West Coast kind of, you know, entertainment look. It was like, this is, you know, real stories about real people, like the wife told not to mess with stereo settings and things like that.
Yeah, real people, but not real stories. And that could, I would imagine, sometimes be a fine line to try to define.
Yeah, and that's the thing is sometimes something will happen in your life. You're like, oh, this would be great for satire, but I need to wait 2 years before, I can put that out there. Like I've coached my kids, like baseball and t-ball teams and stuff. And that, like, I'm like, I cannot put those jokes in for a while.
Until they're a little bit older or you get a little bit of distance from it. We have callers lining up who have their experiences to share and their memories of The Onion and their questions as well. Let's go to Luis in Dodgeville. Hi, Luis.
Hi, I just wanted to relay a story that you might find humorous. I was living in Chicago, and I was a big fan of The Onion because I was always like, because I grew up in Wisconsin. I'm like, it's from Wisconsin. It's super funny and smart. And so I had all my friends read it. And then I kind of got obsessed with The Onion, and I was like, I want to go visit their headquarters, the address listed on the mast, you know, and tell them, like, all these Chicago people love them, and, you know, they have a big fan base. So I drove from Chicago to Madison to go to University Square, because that's the address, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And I wandered around for at least an hour, like, where the heck is The Onion office? And then finally it dawned on me, and I was like, that is the best joke ever. Like, it doesn't exist.
There actually was an office in University Square briefly, but then I think it was just like the P.O. box was University Square. But did you go to the arcade while you were there?
I think I just like got a coffee and like laughed my head off on University Avenue.
Well, if you'd waited a little while, Luis, Chad, I believe you're down in Chicago today, right?
Yeah, and I remember visiting Chicago from Madison, and there were people selling copies of The Onion and, like, came up to me and was like, want to buy The Onion for $3?
What?
I was like, well, I work for that newspaper.
And it's
and then
free.
I, like, showed, and I was like, there, and they didn't care. I was like, where's my $2? So I gave them $2.
Well, any way to make a buck? Thank you for the call, Luis. I love that story. Let's go to Richard in Tri-Rivers next. Richard, good morning.
Hi. I had an alternative coffee shop for 25 years, and we used to die to get The Onion. And we'd have people running up from Madison as soon as it came out. And I remember one particular headline that kind of fits with the modern times of when Russ, I think it was Communist China, believed that we were remodeling luxury box suites in the White House. And they believed it. And I'm wondering if that ever had more repercussions in, you know, I think in society, people believing the false narrative, if the, you know, what they thought about that.
Interesting. Christine?
Well, Actually, Chad, you remember this is the one about the retractable dome over the
It was the Capitol that they that Congress is vowing to move to a new Capitol unless they got a retractable dome, and then it was picked up by like a Beijing newspaper, and they just reported it as real news, and then I think their reaction was when told it was satirical and it was a joke, they just said American newspapers are filled with lies.
Well,
that's the Onion.
Yeah. It's interesting. When I was working on this book, it did cross, you know, because I started working on this book during the first Trump administration, when everyone was talking about fake news, like bad fake news for the first time. And I was, and it did cross my mind. I was like, oh, wait a minute. The Onion didn't have anything to do with this, did it? And the verdict seems to be no, it didn't. But one thing, I talked to a news scholar, a news satire scholar named Amber Day, and she said she didn't think that there was any kind of direct connection, but possibly, maybe, people reading the Onion being in existence for 25 years might have let people, you know, that when they first would encounter like a questionable form of fake news, like, oh, that's just a joke.
Right.
Like that can't be real. That's just a parody. Right. So that seemed possible to me, especially since the first time I ever saw Fox News was in Penn Station in New York City in the Amtrak lounge. And like, I literally thought it was a parody. Right. So, and that absolutely comes from having read The Onion for 25 years before that. So anyway, I don't think there's a very strong connection there, but it is something that crossed my mind that, you know, and the question of just how news satire is different from this sort of what I think of as the bad fake news is something that I discuss in the book. And I know that Chad has talked about that in some interviews he's done also.
Are there other headlines that other folks took seriously that you had to deal with at The Onion?
I believe a Bangladesh newspaper had taken, we did a story about, I think it was Buzz Aldrin like claims that or he's convinced by conspiracy theorists that the moon landing was faked. And they picked that one up. And then we did another one in like 2013 was Kim Jong-un named sexiest man alive. And I think that again was like Chinese newspapers picking that up, that we were like so right about this hunky dictator.
Hey, Richard, what was the coffee shop that carried The Onion?
It was called the Culture Cafe.
And where was the coffee shop located, Richard?
The Culture Cafe was located in Manitowoc, and we always had to go through Wits End to get that paper up here for Madison as soon as it came out. And, you know, we carried the Shepherd and the Onion, and it was always a staple.
What was it like, Christine, getting that paper out and around Wisconsin? How did that get delivered?
I was going to say, did people just drive here and pick up a pile of onions and take them back to Manitowoc?
Yes.
Wait a second.
All right. Richard, thank you for the call.
You owe us money.
$2. Chad, I do want to follow up on that and ask, as a current editor-in-chief at The Onion, what the challenges are like in this current media climate. We talk about how it started in 88 with the institutional, traditional media, but now you've got propaganda purported to be news. You've got facts that are labeled fake news. And how does satire find a place in the current media climate today?
You know, I think we play a pretty big role. Part of it is that, like, unlike a normal news publication, we don't need access. So we can kind of, like, get to the truth about things because we don't need the interviews, you know? And I think that's an important distinction. And, you know, right now I think people are feeling frustrated by, like, the New York Times and Washington Post who, you know, their editors or owners are kind of determining what they can cover and how they should cover it. And we're just kind of free to do what we want.
Christine Wentz, our guest, author of the book Funny Because It's True, How the Onion Created Modern American News Satire. Chad Nacker is also joining us, current editor-in-chief at The Onion and the longest-running employee of 27 years and going strong. I'm Lee Rayburn, and for Larry Mueller today on WPR News. You're listening to The Larry Mueller Show on WPR News. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and we're talking about the history of The Onion, the satirical media company started by UW-Madison students in the late 80s. Our guest, Christine Wentz, author of the book Funny Because It's True, How The Onion Created Modern American News Satire, and also joining us, Chad Nackers, current editor-in-chief of The Onion. We've got a lot of calls to get to today, so let's just continue with the conversation and your favorite memories of The Onion, or your questions for those who worked there and continue to do so. Paul in Marshfield, we'll go to you next. Good morning.
Hi there. I was hoping your guests could help me with a mystery that has plagued me for a long time. I used to have it's like a coffee table book of like Onion headlines throughout history. And there was a political cartoon. It was something like the world's most complicated political cartoon. And it was hilarious. And I've Googled it and I can't find it. And I would like to say that one of my favorite parts of The Onion has always been the political cartoons by Stan Kelly, which are hilarious.
Are you referring to the book Our Dumb Century? That was the Onion's first
yes.
Virginal book. Yeah, off the top of my head, I can't think of that. But you could just get yourself a copy and dig through it if you don't have one anymore. I'm sure you can still find one. That's not very helpful, but that's all I can say about that. Yeah.
Thank you, Paul. Let's go to Marty in Sherwood next. Marty, hello.
Hi there. I remember the Onion. I was introduced to it in the early 90s. I used to go on spring break to Madison to visit some of my friends that were going there. And remember the first time that I saw it, I was like, is this real? We were journalism majors, a couple of us. So it was kind of like, how can they get away with this? So it gives this an April Fool's edition. And my friend Christy is like, no, it's just a satire. I'm like, oh, okay. So that was always something that we look forward to. And I remember, I think I still have a copy of it. They had the headline, 50-foot Ann B. Davis attacks the state capitol. I still remember that one.
I have a really good piece of trivia for you for that, in that I was the model for that picture. That's like the only time, like it wasn't my head, it was just my body in my friend's like waitress outfit. That it just really cracks me up that you brought that up, because that's literally the only time that I personally have been on the cover of The Onion.
Well, Christine, according to your book, you only had one front page headline article, and I do not believe we can actually cite the headline.
You probably can't.
On the show. But it does, I mean, it does bring me to the business side of things. I mean, the writer's room sounds like a lot of fun, but did you ever come up against businesses who had some issues with maybe the diagrams that were on the front page being right next to the businesses that were supporting you?
Yeah, when I was there, I don't remember much like that happening. It was still pretty free form. I personally had nothing to do with The Onion becoming famous in the 90s. I was reading it and I was friends with some of the people who were there. But later on, yeah, they definitely... had some issues, people who didn't think certain things were funny. And they acquired, however, a really great lawyer, perfect guy from The Onion, a guy named Ken Artis, who's from Black River Falls. And the story of how he came to be part of The Onion is in the book. But all I can say is they literally hired a lawyer who walked in off the street. But he turned out to be the perfect, perfect lawyer for The Onion. Do you remember Ken, Chad?
I do. Yeah, he was a bit of a shark.
Yeah, he was pretty hardcore, very, very, very good at making certain conflicts go away, I think.
Yeah, some of his conflict resolution strategies were very novel and not necessarily by the book.
Yeah, exactly.
Chad, I am interested in how the business side of things has evolved over the years that you've been there.
Yeah, so... I do feel like there's been a certain amount of incompetence on the business side for most of the time I've been there, whether it's been independent or, you know, we've gone through different owners through the years and, you know, not always a great appreciation for what The Onion was doing or what it like stood for. The worst part was probably when we were owned by Geo Media and it was private equity. There was like zero investment in things that, you know, meeting readers where they are, like video and staffing and things like that. So that was always a challenge. And we were chasing page views at a time when that's just sort of non-existent anymore. And when Global Tetrahedron, which is like a fictional company in The Onion, bought us, for, you know, getting real meta there. we decided to change our model, and we've gone with a membership model. So we brought back print, and you can sign up. I believe it's $99 a month right now. And you get a print issue every month and, you know, some other goodies from time to time. But that's, you know, we don't have to be so focused on ads, and yet we will still, you know, do content for people if they want, you know, white label stuff if it's requested. So it's, you know, we're kind of more open, and we're allowed to do what works best for us.
But that is a long time coming for the business side of this, for The Onion. And if Christine, you go into this in detail in your book, and it is fascinating because it is a struggle, and you don't necessarily see that, and maybe don't want to see it as a fan of The Onion, as a consumer of the satire. But there is one point, I believe, where you actually, The Onion actually ran a story that said Yuan May Amalgamated Salvage Fisheries and Polymer Injection Corporation buys The Onion.
Yeah.
And I do believe it was Gawker, which would be part of Media that you were wrapped into, that The Onion was wrapped into for a while, that took that headline seriously.
Yeah, that's what I heard, that was reported on seriously.
So
yeah, it was before we were with them, so we were still independent, and I think a couple of our writers had known some people from Gawker, and they're like, if we say that we're for sale, they'll buy into it. They didn't have any details. So then, you know, the next week we have our China takeover issue where Yuan May purchased us.
Chad, earlier you said that the subscription's $99 a month. Is that correct, or is it $99 a year? $99 a year.
Yes.
For The Onion to be delivered straight to you.
Yeah, and you overseas.
And you mentioned Global Tetrahedron, which was a running joke in Our Dumb Century, a New York Times number one bestseller, the first book from The Onion staff. What does that mean for your, you know, editorial opportunities today?
Well, I think it means that we have a lot more independence. You know, it's great to have somebody who buys us, who gets The Onion, who's a big fan and like loves the fake companies that are created. And one of the best parts is it just gave us a new avenue for jokes. Now we do stuff about Global Tetrahedron. There's always ads in the print edition. We don't have any, there's no sponsorships in the issue. So we have ads, but they're all fake ads now. So that's another whole way to make jokes too.
Yeah. And they'll say the ads are, because that's something The Onion hadn't really done before, was like a bunch of fake ads. So, and of course I had to get a print subscription right away. And they're really good. They're very Onion. Yeah.
Our guests are Christine Wentz, who is the author of the book Funny Because It's True, and was the copy editor for The Onion for the first 2 years. Chad Nacker is current editor-in-chief of The Onion. Let's go to Bob and Kiwani next. Hi, Bob.
Well, good afternoon. I'm just curious, with the actual news coming out of Washington for the last 2 months, is something one might have expected to see you guys writing. How do you top it?
Chad?
So, you know, in the past, the Onion was like, we would just throw stuff out there. You know, we'd write our headlines, put the jokes out there. Now, I think, you know, we've already had one, 4-year term of Trump. So we're kind of used to him. So it's easier to react to what he's doing and build off of the real events. So if someone's kicked out of the address to Congress, we can play off of that rather than trying to guess what they're going to do. And I think that lets us like have a little more teeth.
Was it easier to make fun of President Obama or Diamond Joe Biden with his Trans Am and Ray-Bans? Some of the Obama headlines that Christine writes about in her book are Black Guy Asked Nation for Change and Black Man Given Nation's Worst Job. How do you compare the political divide in this satire that you're trying to create?
Well, it's interesting because I think you have more fun with establishment politicians because they're so straight-laced, and then you make fun of their world and make it crazy. With Trump, they're kind of it's so unexpected. You're not sure what's going to happen, but the consequences can be so dire that it's actually more meat for satire. So you have something to play with, but, you know, it's not always so much fun.
It can be some hard work and maybe to some degree a moving target, depending.
Yeah, and it can be pretty exhausting to keep up with, you know. But it does feel, you know, ever since 2001 with 9/11, it's felt like in the Iraq War that there's bigger things to kind of attack and go after. And I think that's something that, like, the Onion has grown and matured into.
Well, speaking of New York and the Onion growing and maturing, Christine, you write about when the Onion moves to New York City and their first issue from their headquarters in New York is supposed to come out September 16th, 2001. And how defining that moment was for the future of the paper and as well for the future of satire and humor in the aftermath of such unbelievable tragedy.
Yeah, the Onion's 9/11 issue is one of their most famous and written. I mean, I'll let Chad, you know, Chad was there. Yeah. I was actually living in New York at the time, although I happened to be out of town that day. But the scenes I'm describing in that chapter are things that I remember also. But that issue was really, really important for the Onion, and they pulled off something that I think is truly spectacular in a very short period of time, and it really. The response to it was just so positive. It really made people feel better during an extremely dark and difficult time.
It was profound in ways I don't think anything else could have been at the time, because it was like an exhale. Chad, what was it like for you being there at the time? You really thread that needle.
Yeah, I mean, all of us we moved to New York in January of that year, so we had only been there for 9 months. But, you know, now we're residents of New York City, and, you know, the biggest terrorist attack in the history of the world happens. And, you know, it was a dark time. Like, there's all over the city, you can see the two pillars of black smoke, you know, going over the city, and the posters for missing, you know, people who worked at the World Trade Center or in the downtown area. And it was very heavy. And I think that's, like, part of the reason we really were careful about how we put out the issue. We were talking to, like, our office manager and business staff members and just, you know, kind of making sure that everything seemed right, because we didn't want, like, a false note. And, you know, there was a lot of talk that irony was dead at that point. And, you know, I guess we took that as a challenge that, you know, you can attack these things that are horrible with satire and give people a respite from the tragedies and horror.
Yeah, made people laugh again, and it made people in New York City laugh again. And I think it was incredibly brave, Chad, and I imagine there were some real debates about whether or not it should even happen.
Yeah, I think there were some people who were like, we shouldn't even touch this. You know, it's just too hot of a topic. And but, you know, on the same hand, we had lived there for 9 months, and this had happened to us as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I had smoke. I lived in Brooklyn. I had smoke pouring down my street during the aftermath and papers flying around. So it's like it was very real. And I think it was necessary for us, too. We needed the outlet.
That's Chad Nackers, editor-in-chief of The Onion, also joining us. Christine Wentz was a copy editor for The Onion in its first 2 years and the author of Funny Because It's True, How The Onion Created Modern American News Satire. Dalen Baldwin, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. Thank you so much for taking my call. And first thing I want to say is to your guest, thank you so much for helping me hold on to my sanity in these crazy times. I think that I started reading The Onion about the time that my subscription to Mad Magazine ran out. Picking up on an earlier caller about, you know, truth being stranger than fiction, I hope you will find it as funny as I do that I regularly take real news stories and we'll put the Onion masthead on them and then post them out on my Facebook page, proving, and then I will put the actual story, whether it's to Newsweek or wherever, proving that that truth is definitely is stranger than fiction. So, and I sent a couple of examples to that to the email account. Also, you've also given me a great outlet for our now grown kids. The only gifts that they're allowed to buy me are anything that relates to the Onion. And then the last thought is, I am definitely, you have given me my high aspirations as I enter into retirement for a Twilight career. So I would love to follow up and find out how I could join the team. So thank you.
Oh, Chad,
you are an American hero, sir. I'm not sure what email. There's probably a public feedback. Perhaps you can contact that. You know, we don't usually take solicitations. But, you know, if you want to try to contact us, you certainly can. And we'll see if we can get you a trial or something.
Let's go to next to Mary, Fran, and Madison. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi. So I have a story. It was very ironic to me. I worked in an office building on Wilson Street overlooking the lake in Madison. And on my floor, there was an onion office, big onion, like words on the outside of their door, which had no window. And I was told that it was the business section of the Onion. There was zero silliness about that place that I thought was incredibly ironic and deeply disappointing.
Well, now, wait a minute, Mary Fran. If you had the writer's room next door, you might have had a lot of nudity, so I'm not so sure that necessarily would have been a benefit.
Actually, at that point, the editorial office was in New York, actually.
Okay.
And so it actually was the business office and the graphic design team, and I think the AV Club was partly in Madison still at that point. So you had, like, the responsible adults were the people that were there. and at that point, because the editorial staff and the business staff separated, mm-hmm. like physically separated, and before the business staff moved to Chicago, it was on an office on East Wilson for a little while.
There you go. Mary Fran, thank you. I do want to mention, Christine, the crossover between public broadcasting and The Onion, because you had some time here at Wisconsin Public Radio, but you weren't the only one.
Yeah. Yeah, Rich Dom and I both were board ops and news announcers here. I used to answer the phone for the Larry Mueller show back in the day. So coming back when I was asked to do this, I was like, yes, of course I have to do Larry Mueller. That would be great. And the person who got us those jobs was Scott Dickers, who was an editor of The Onion for a long time and an owner of The Onion for a long time. And he was the one who was working here, and he got Rich and I auditions, as it were. And Rich, by the way, went on to do quite illustrious things, became an executive producer of The Colbert Report and, you know, wrote, like, in case he has a whole bunch of Emmys, and like he went on to very spectacular things. But for a while, yes, I was here.
But
in this very studio, in fact. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, unusual. But also interesting is it worked the other way, too, as you mm-hmm. had Stephen Thompson as one of the starting the AV Club for The mm-hmm. Onion, which continues today. And Stephen Thompson, now the music editor for NPR
exactly.
at the Mothership.
Right, exactly. So there's lots of interconnections there. Yeah.
Back to your questions now. Duke and Viroqua, good afternoon.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I have an observation and a question. It's a burning question. The observation is, you know, Madison had a long history of satire prior to The Onion. The Cap Times, starting in the 30s, used to have an April Fool's article every year, and one year they had a picture of the Capitol Dome collapsing. On the front page from all the hot air in the Capitol. and of course, Kentucky Fried Theater started in the early 70s when I came to Madison to go to school. And the Zucker brothers, I remember their sign on one of the, down on State Street, it was a fake headline, "Boy Trapped in Refrigerator Eats Own Foot." And of course, they went on to Hollywood and did the airplane movies and had careers in entertainment. And when I worked for the Cardinal in the early 70s, we had an April Fool's issue, but we were all just amateurs. And the Onion took it to a whole new level and kept it there for a long time. But the question that I've wondered about every time I pick up the Onion is those four people that you ask the question to every issue, it's always the same four people. They've been answering questions for 35 years. Who are they? Are they relatives? I'll hang up and listen, but I have to have an answer.
Chad, Christine and I are going to sit back and laugh, and you go ahead and tackle this.
Yeah, so originally the first, there were six, and they were all black and white, and those were all just college students. And then I think in 98 or 99, we wanted it, the American Voices to feel more like the USA Today and have like a more diverse background. So we went in, and I think two people we found on State Street, the young woman who's on there, there's a middle-aged woman, I believe we just went up to her. One of the persons worked at Chautara, which was owned by Himal Chuli, with me. And so we shot him. And then we had an African-American teacher who we shot, and he was only in for about a week. And he said his kids in class were going so crazy because they found out he was in The Onion. He's like, please, you have to get me out of here. So we switched to a stock model for about 10 years. And then we shot a photo of a friend after that.
Wasn't one of them The Onion's UPS driver? That's the
yes.
story.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yes, he would come in every time, and he was the kind of the hunky UPS driver that everybody loved. he was known on State Street for sure.
From one teacher to another, let's go to Don in Marshfield next. Don, good afternoon.
Hello there.
Hi, Don.
Hello.
Hi. I'm a long retired anatomy teacher from the UW system. And up here in Marshfield, it's heavily religious. But there was a wonderful article in The Onion called "The Pope Excommunicates Five More Organs."
All right. Thank you, Don. And I'm curious about the writer's room, because it seems like that has always been a place of, strange to say, a safe space to try anything and to fail miserably and maybe offend to some degree. How consistent has that been through the years, and how important has that been to the vibe of The Onion?
I really learned. You want to take that one? I'll just say briefly that writing this book gave me such respect for The Onion's headline, you know, sort of sifting and winnowing mm-hmm. process. For every, what, Chad, like 100 headlines that are pitched, that maybe two or three get in, something like that. So The Onion has a really pretty great process developed over a long period of time to make sure that what is actually appears in the publication is good.
And Chad, I'd imagine part of your job now is continuing that tradition and teaching it to the new recruits for The Onion.
Yeah, I'd say over the last 10 years, a large part of my job is kind of sharing the institutional knowledge. And it's been interesting to, start up print again after 12 years, because there's more of an emphasis on shorter headlines that fit better for print. And so you're seeing people think about that, and they're like, it's fun because everybody's like, oh, we could cut that word, let's get rid of that. And you know, it's like we get jokes like baby saves a fair, which feels like could have run in 1994.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We got to take a quick break. Our guest, Christine Wentz, author of the new book, Funny Because It's True, How the Onion Created Modern American News Satire, and Chad Nackers, current editor-in-chief of The Onion. We're on Lee Rayburn in for Larry Mueller, and this is WPR News. We're talking about the book Funny Because It's True with our guest, Christine Wentz, who is a copy editor for the first 2 years of The Onion. Chad Nackers has been at The Onion for 27 years and currently the editor-in-chief. And Chad, we've got an email here from somebody who wants to know about the status of The Onion's attempt to purchase InfoWars, the Alex Jones website.
Yeah, that is slightly on hold because the bankruptcy judge in Texas decided that our bid, there wasn't enough transparency with our bid because we were working with the Sandy Hook families. And it's an unfortunate situation because we had their blessing and they were going to like take some of their future money and put it on top of our bid so that we could acquire that property. There's still a chance that it could come our way. But right now, I think they changed it that someone would have to buy all of Alex Jones' debt, essentially, which is not, we don't need debt.
Well, what was the idea behind the attempt to purchase the Alex Jones website?
I think what it was is that, you know, it has put so much bad conspiracy theories out into the world, and we wanted to use it for satire to put out something that's like good and powerful, and you know, and use it as another vehicle to write jokes.
Christine Wentz, I want to ask you about the anatomy of an Onion story, because you do go into this in detail in your book, and it's not, I mean, it's a science, but also an art at the same time. And the way I could surmise it was a quote from your book, John Cruson, whose mother was actually in Sterling Hall when it was bombed in 1970, which is another weird crossover. Pardon me. He says, "We try to make fun of jerks."
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I might turn that one over to Chad because I think he can answer that better than I could. But the Onion, you know, the old thing about, you know, they punch up, they don't punch down, right?
Yeah, and the focus of who you're making fun of is mm-hmm. given so much thought when it comes to how the story is going to end up, how the headline reads. Chad, what's it like building that story from the headline out?
I think of it as a lot of like, you know how the Native Americans use like every part of the animal that they slaughter? We use every part of the headline, you know, like every aspect of, you know, say like a joke like Greyhound to send chimps on pioneering bus trip from Buffalo to Atlantic City. So we're gonna have stuff about it, you know, details about Greyhound, about what this new, you know, pilot trip is going to be like, and you know what aspects are you know natural to Buffalo or to Atlantic City, and kind of hitting the griminess of that. And so you just kind of use every part of that while building it out and building the jokes.
Let's go to Jacob in Madison next. Jacob, good afternoon.
Hey, I just want to say that I was on the cover of The Onion once back in the day.
What was the story?
I worked at a metaphysical bookstore that used to exist on State Street.
Was it Shakti? I would say it was Shakti, yeah.
Yeah. And the photographer, two guys came in asking me if I'd be on the cover, which was kind of a surprise to me. I didn't know this was going to be happening. And they brought in a beanie cap for me to wear. And it was kind of a takeoff. The cover was kind of a takeoff on Mountain Dew commercials at the time, the Just Do It commercials.
Chad, so that was... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I had to look like a bro that was holding up this can, standing out in front of the bookstore at the time.
Chad, that was probably you and Mike, right?
It sounds like the Mountain Dew Council, right? Like a classic. It might have been just before me, but I can't totally remember.
Well, I appreciate that, Jacob. I hope you have a copy of that for yourself still.
I don't. I wish I did, though.
Christine, what are your favorite memories of your time at The Onion?
It was just very fun to be able to kind of do whatever you wanted, you know? I was in and out. Everybody was in and out doing other things. Mm-hmm. It was just very fun to get together with friends and like make this cool thing that other people would read and like existed in the world. You know, it was a super It was just, you know, it was exciting and interesting, and it was, you know, it was a very intensely creative place, and it was, I don't know, I just remember it just being fun and interesting, and everybody was just really smart and hilarious and you know, fun to talk to, and that's what I remember.
Was it difficult to walk away from?
Oh, no. No. I mean, I was doing other things, like The Onion. It's interesting because I was involved in the very, very beginning, and so I'm sort of an insider and an outsider, you know, to The Onion at the same time, which gave me an interesting perspective when I was working on the book, right? So like, I'd heard Chad's name a million times, but Chad, I don't think I actually met you until I was actually working on this project, right? And it was the same with other people from the 90s group, but the people that are on the cover of the book, I only knew a couple of those people, and I actually only met a lot of the Gen X crew when I was working on the book, because I left The Onion to go edit Seattle's Alt Weekly, The Stranger, which happened to be started by the same people who started The Onion the first year. Tim Keck was the publisher of The Stranger, mm-hmm. also. So basically, the first year of The Onion, you know, they sold the paper to three guys who continued it, and then that same crew moved to Seattle and started a real newspaper called the Strangers, Seattle's Alt Weekly.
And that included Dan Savage as well, formerly of Four Star Video here in Madison.
Yeah. Dan Savage had nothing to do with The Onion, but he was a checkout clerk at Four Star Fiction and Video here in town, and he would always make these really funny jokes, and he was in an ACT UP T-shirt, and everybody just thought he was great. So Tim was like, "Hey, why don't you come to Seattle and be our advisor?" Columnist, and Dan said, "Sure." And so that's how Savage Love was born.
Chad Nackers, what keeps you going after 27 years at The Onion? You're the longest running remaining staff member, probably the last Gen Xer and Madisonian on board.
I just love the meetings, you know, riffing with the writers and making jokes. It's, you know, it's been great the whole time.
And give us a little idea where The Onion's going next. You can get a subscription. You can get it mailed to your door. You know, and The Onion's tried a number of things, from a movie to The Onion News Network, which I believe won a Peabody, right?
Mm-hmm. Onion News Network did, yes.
Yeah, so where do you see the future, Chad?
So we just started Onion News Network up again in November, so we'll have more of those. And we're going to try to do some more timely stuff with those videos. So we're going to expand our video. We're going to do more with print. I think we're going to keep expanding print too and offering different things. You know, we might do a whole glossy magazine at some point.
Interesting.
And, you know, we're going to explore and do things. We're going to do public events. We want to get it out there in the world and reach young people too. We're on TikTok now and YouTube Shorts, and we're just trying to find that next generation.
Chad Nackers, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Chad's the current editor-in-chief of The Onion, and Christine Wentz, our guest as well. Christine, thank you so much to you.
Thank you for having me.
And, of course, The Larry Mueller Show is a full team that makes this possible each and every day. Thank you for joining us. I want to remind you our producers are Clara Neipert and Joel Patenaude, our technical director today, Jeff Robbins, and, of course, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. My name's Lee Rayburn, in for Larry Mueller today, and you're listening to WPR News.